Hello, and welcome to the Art of the Cut podcast, brought to you in partnership with Frame.io. My name is Steve Hallfish. I'm a feature film and documentary editor. For the last 8 years, nearly 350 interviews, Art of the Cut has been talking with the world's best editors in film, TV, and docs about the art and craft of editing. If you're interested in reading this interview with visual support and clips and trailers, head on over to blog.frame.io, where there's a ton of great expert content for filmmakers of all types. Today, we're speaking with Azusa Yamazaki, the editor of the Oscar-nominated Best Picture, Drive My Car. Azusa has edited numerous feature films, including Asaka 1 and 2, Dream of Illumination, and The Ark in the Mirage. She has also got several TV series in her native Japan. Our discussion was through an interpreter, Naoki Tanaka, who is a friend of Azusa's from film school. Let's start with something simple, which is, what is your approach to a new scene when the dailies or rushes come in? What do you do?
For this project, I had an assistant. So the assistant will go through the new rushes and organize them for me first. After my assistants have put together the rushes, then I watch them from beginning to the end, and I keep notes, make a list as I watch the day's footage.
She watches in a selects reel or watches individual takes?
So in general, with Mr. Hamaguchi's film, in a way, there's no concept of a no good take. Every take is a possibility. So unless there is a technical problem that's absolutely, you know, obviously not good, she would watch every single shot that's been taken. So the assistants will reorder the scene in sequential order of the story, but I watch it from the beginning to the end, not selecting, just watch the whole thing through from beginning to end, just reordered by the assistants.
And making notes in handwritten or putting locators in the timeline?
My approach of taking notes is very analog. I mean, sometimes iPads, but it's usually I like to write down what I think or what I've noticed as I watch the rushes.
Is it a typical workflow where you would edit an editor's cut and show it to the director, or do you work with the director even during production?
Well, Hamaguchi-san's case,
generally speaking, with Mr. Hamaguchi, it's a little different than working with other directors. Generally, if I'm working with another director, yeah, I might work on the editor's cut while they're shooting. But with Mr. Hamaguchi, it's a very unique workflow where they finish their principal photography and then he would come into the editing room and we will watch the rushes together, sometimes at us, you know, spend days and watch what we have. So in a way, we start together. The reason he likes to wait until they finish filming is, as I said earlier, he doesn't have a bad take. Every shot is a possibility. So he likes to concentrate on the directing when he's on set. He doesn't like to think if that was a good shot or a bad shot. That's why the workflow has turned into this kind of wait till we finish filming so that he can concentrate on his directing on set, and then he'll worry about which takes to use after. He'll rewatch them, refresh his memory, think about it, and then that's when he decides if this was a good take or a bad take.
Did she work at all during production while they were filming?
During production, I don't do any kind of editing, or I don't do any kind of editing behind his back either, purely just watching the rushes.
Tell me a little bit about the structure of the film. Can you think of any examples of scenes that were rearranged from the script?
So in this film, we reordered some scenes for structural, you know, just structural purposes, but it's something that doesn't happen often in Mr. Hamaguchi's film. So for example, the very first scene of the film where his wife is just kind of bedridden, that was not the original beginning of the film. That was brought in from somewhere else. So that's one of the examples that we have changing the structure of the film. So So originally, the first scene was supposed to be Otto, his wife, recording her voice to the tape. And it was a shot that was going to dolly up on her back. It would be in a dark room, and she's recording in a corner, and the camera just comes, you know, creep up on her. On her back. That was the original opening of the film. In the final movie, that original opening scene moved to just before traveling to Hiroshima. So the reason why they moved Otto's bedridden scene, bringing that to the opening, is, well, number one, the director decided that that's the best decision. But it was also, it's her voice. It's the way she talked about her dream. It was a very powerful scene, and I believe that was part of the reason that he decided this needs to be our opening scene.
Can you talk to me about another rearrangement of scenes and why it was done?
まあ、東北行くシーンで、美咲が私は母を殺したっていう、まあ、あの告白をする。
This sort of Misaki's confession that she killed her mother, that was originally going to happen much earlier in the film between her and Kafuku's conversation, like somewhere towards the second half of that very long conversation. The reason we moved that scene to where it is in the final film is after we've made some cuts, we've had producers come in and watch the film. And as we were watching, there was a discussion about trying to figure out the relationship between Kafuku and Misaki. It didn't seem to be progressing the way it should. It didn't feel right. So after watching the review cuts and discussing with producers and director, obviously, I Killed My Mother is a very heavy topic. It's a very heavy story to share with another person. And where it was originally, didn't feel right. So they've decided to move it to the block where they are in Tohoku, or they're going to Tohoku. And that builds up to them going to Hokkaido, where they both shed a tear with together. So it worked out in a very nice way.
Were there any films that the director asked you to watch or that the two of you watched together or discussed as inspiration?
Mr. Hamoshi asked me to watch some of the later works of Claude Chabrol's, specifically Where to Cut. Just pay attention on where to cut, why and where. He wanted me to pay attention to those, the editing points.
What in those edits did you determine were interesting or were unusual?
Mr. Hamaguchi wanted me to pay attention was how to cut action, how to jump certain actions. In his films, in general, he's very particular about continuity. So the action has to be flawless, seamless. And we spend a lot of times adjusting to get the action continuity. But for this film, he wanted me to pay attention to how to jump, how to make that cut. That in particular was his interest for this film. So that's why he wanted me to watch Chabrol's later works.
Early on, when Otto brings the young actor in to see his performance and he's taking his makeup off, he says, oh, let me change clothes. And he starts to take his clothes off, and it's a hard cut to him packing his suitcase. Is that one of those cuts that you feel is similar to that?
That particular scene or that particular edit that you mentioned was in the script to begin with. This is a different scenario. It wasn't directly inspired by his works. It was already written there by Mr. Hamaguchi.
I didn't notice any assistant editor jobs in your filmography. Did you move directly to the editor's chair?
Of course, we do have assistant editors in Japan as well. So it really comes into money reasons. A lot of the lower budget films in Japan, we don't have enough budget to bring in an assistant editor. One of the reasons I don't have an assistant editor credit, so to speak, is after graduating film school, I worked on several indie films, low budget, small films. And as I was doing that, one of the people I was working with said they're going to work on a theatrical version of what they were doing, a feature length feature film of what they were working on. So she got on board with that film and then became an editor.
Was there something that drew you to editing? Why did you decide this was a good way to be a filmmaker?
To begin with, I used to watch a lot of commercials or films and, you know, any kind of videos, and I thought I wanted to be a director. And the change, the realization came when I was in college, when I would watch various films. And when I came across specific editing techniques, that's not a straightforward telling a story cut, it like jump cuts. That's when I first noticed the importance of editing. And that's really just what drew me into working on editing.
Are there cultural understandings that are important to editing? Or do you think that an American or European editor could have edited this film?
To answer that question, maybe you do need some understanding of cultural backgrounds. But I also believe that you can see or you can feel what's on the screen. You can tell what's happening. Just by visually, you can tell what's happening. So maybe you need some kind of a cultural background or an understanding, but I believe the image tells the story. And once you start editing, the importance of culture and understanding just kind of gets smaller and smaller. It's more about visual storytelling. And I can only assume or just, you know, kind of predict, but if an editor from another culture decides to edit this film, I would imagine that these characters will be more expressive, maybe a little more. It's only an imagination. I can't say for sure, but I imagine that's what would happen if an editor from a different culture would edit this film.
One of the reasons why I asked this question is because of this clip where the director meets Misaki, his driver, in the parking garage.
You brought up Misaki as an example. There was an intention behind that editing her scenes. We purposefully made her seem like she has no emotion. It's more like a robotic type of person. And that was the intention of the edit. So specifically cutting out her blinking or cutting just before her line of sight shifts will cut just before she moves her eyes. Little things like that, that we made to make her look kind of more mechanical, like no emotion. Now, I don't know if that relates to cultural, you know, like a cultural perception, but maybe it's just how Mr. Hamaguchi directs his films. Maybe it's just his style.
Let's talk about the value of shot sizes and how you choose which type of shot you will use for a particular moment. Maybe you can give an example.
Maybe a good scene to talk about shot sizes is a dinner scene at the Yunsu's house. So in that scene, the hero of that scene is her sign language, her hand movements is the hero of the scene. So we edited that scene based on, you know, that's the hero. And I mean, it's a beautiful shot. So we worked really hard to make that shot stand out. And speaking about structuring that scene or any scene in Mr. Hamaguchi's film is he believes there's a correct piece to fit in. It's like a puzzle. There's the right size. There's a right shot size. There's a right time to cut. And I don't know how it works, but once we start putting it together, this piece fits with this, and then it's just finding the right pieces and putting them together. In this scene, that probably worked the best. And one additional note to that is this scene was inspired by actually Clint Eastwood's Sully.
And how was it inspired by Sully?
まあ、会議シーンというか何人も人が映っているシーンの時に
The inspiration came from kind of a conference room scene where there's always and it happens a lot in Clint Eastwood's film where you have so many characters in the same room but there's always the right expression and the right person to be on and it happens a lot and that's where we tried to find a clue of how to make it happen
often the characters in the film are not saying what they mean the true meaning is in subtext how can the editor help mold or craft subtext or show it to an audience
so まあ、サブテクストがあると感じ
so as an editor maybe we can create subtext by doing the small things like picking the right facial expressions of the actors or you know their small subtle movements leaving that into the scene or maybe cutting them out maybe the duration of the shot when to cut is an important part as an editor to create the subtext.
Because if you hold on the shot longer after the person speaks, you know they're thinking something else.
Maybe that's very noticeable in the scene we talked about earlier where Kafuku at the beginning of the film where he finishes his play and then he takes off his makeup. Maybe that's one of the key features of, you know, staying on the character for a long pause.
This is when they're having a bar conversation and he says, Otto must have been very happy with a husband like you.
This is a story.
I've watched this scene many times, so if you have a question, we can just jump right in.
Just those choices of when to cut and who to be on and what size shot to be on.
For this particular bar scene, we tried many, many different variations. And this scene is maybe more about Mr. Hamaguchi's like intuitive, his talent, his how he structures film. It's really a lot of it was what he envisions more than the editing per se. This scene in particular was more based on the director's vision. I learned a lot by editing this scene.
You stayed on the two shot for a while. Obviously, if you wanted to, you could cut close up, close up, close up, but there's this choice to use this two shot. And what do you think the value of the two shot is, especially to start the scene?
So the value or, you know, the importance of this two shot, this wider shot is showing the distance between one person to another. So for example, Kafuku doesn't want to, or he wouldn't want to mentally want to get any closer to Takatsuki, the younger actor. And if during their conversation, if Kafuku was interested or he showed any kind of interest in what Takatsuki, the younger actor, was saying, those were the moments when we used close-ups.
Another place where I would love to talk about the choice of the shot size is there's a discussion on this kind of by the ocean side on these stairs where they go to have a smoke. And it's largely done in this wide overhead shot. But it's a very personal discussion, but there's only close-ups at the end. Why have this personal discussion on this wide shot?
まあ、あの、ファーストカットとして、あの、まあ、俯瞰が。
This wide open overhead shot is the opening shot for this particular scene. And it's kind of Mr. Hamaguchi's principle about editing. Every shot has an expiration date, sort of. You could maybe keep watching it, or there's going to be a moment where you're going to get tired of it, or you want to move on. And he believes that. And because we've worked together before, we have a shared experience on when is the right moment to cut. So in this scene, the best way for me to describe this scene is we cut to the close-up at the end because the moment has come, that shot, that overhead shot, the shiny moment of that shot just kind of expired at that moment. So we moved to a close up.
I'm interested in not when to cut away from it, but the use of it instead of close ups in a very intimate conversation. Often intimate conversations would be in a close up, but this was played in an intimate conversation in a high wide shot.
ですね、確かここは2人がフレームの中に収まっている、まあ、ワイドショ
ット。We used the close-ups when they handed the lighter to each other. When there was any kind of movement, that's when we used a close-up. But in general, we wanted to keep them together in the frame. The position of that was really the cinematographer Shinomiya-san's decision. It was the right decision by him to place it there in that angle to keep both of them in the same frame.
There's the use of a pre-lap audio when we go from the wife's funeral to the play. You hear the play while you're still in the funeral scene. What is the value of a pre-lap?
音が染み込んでくる時っていうのは、まあ、感情がつながっている
時。 So, in this film, we use pre-lap in two different occasions for different reasons. The first scene where you mentioned where you have the wife's funeral and then you hear the sound of the play come in and then you move on to the next scene. We use that kind of technique when we want to connect the emotion between two scenes. We want to carry over that character or the scene's emotion to the next thing. I don't know if seamlessness is the right word to use, but we want to bridge those two scenes together, change your emotion from one emotion to another. That was one of the uses. Another pre-lap that we used was a gunshot. And this was actually going into the stage play. It was the reverse of what we did earlier. We wanted to cut off any kind of emotion that you felt. And we wanted to snap you out of it and bring you into the next scene. So same technique, but two different purposes. Another use of using pre-lap was Kafuku doesn't say much. If we leave him on a shot where he doesn't say anything, but you hear the rehearsal, you hear the other actors talking in the background, what they say in the background sort of, they're speaking for him. That's another use that we try to accomplish. He doesn't have to say anything, but we let the film speak for him.
Yeah, so some dialogue from Uncle Vanya, the dialogue from the play would be speaking what's in his mind.
そうですね。そういうものが、なんていうか、具体的に説明。
That's the right idea, what you just explained. So it's kind of like, it helps the audience connect what's said in the play and what's real in the real life and the story. It helps the audience understand the two worlds.
One of the last scenes in the movie, we've kind of gone backstage with some other actors and they're watching in the green room or in their dressing room. They're watching the play take place on a TV screen. And then we follow that through to the end of the play. Could you talk to me about cutting that sequence?
この scene は意外と編集構成を
What really happened during editing was we didn't try many variations like we've did with the other scenes. We ended up in how it is pretty fast. So this particular scene, Mr. Hamaguchi's film, he doesn't have a sort of a storyboard in his mind. He concentrates on the directing on set, and he decides how he wants to put a film together in his mind as we watch the rushes. But maybe this particular scene, he already had some kind of an idea of how he wanted to play it out. A lot of it was on what was already in his mind.
Most of this scene is played on this forward shot looking at the two actors facing the camera as she's signing behind him. It's a very long shot interrupted by cuts to Misaki. Can you explain the choice of when to go to a reaction shot? Because they're used very sparingly.
舞台で行われている、まあ、セリフです。
To kind of explain how and when we cut to Misaki and when we went back. Generally, we cut to Misaki when the dialogue of that scene hits her really hard. It's when that dialogue means something to Misaki, we cut to her. And then we show enough of her reaction and then go back to continuing the dialogue. You know, the most effective reaction comes towards the end of the play. That was generally the use of Misaki's reaction shot, but it also played introducing to the audience that we used that shot early on in the scene as well. That is just for letting the audience know that Misaki is there to watch the play. It's just information. But as the play move along, that shot starts to play a different role in the scene. But specifically, we tried to avoid an obvious cut where a dialogue would directly affect Misaki's emotions. That was not the purpose. So we tried to avoid the obvious.
There's a wide shot of the play, and then there's a wide shot of the audience. I was thinking that you'd want to show the audience before you started showing close-ups of Misaki. Is that true? Did you feel like you needed to set up the audience before you saw an individual audience member?
まあ、あの、大きくは、まあ、状況を説明するっていうことは一つ大きい理由だ。
One thing is just to explain where we are and what's happening. That's one big reason. Misaki is in that wide shot, but it's too early to feature her in this scene. And we just wanted to set up the scene that this is a play and the audience are here to watch the play. It wasn't the right moment to bring her in as a featured character in the scene.
The movie's quite long and there's a lot of driving. What is the purpose of showing, you know, tunnel scenes and the driving scenes and the going to places when you could just cut to them arriving at Misaki's old hometown? But instead we watch the journey. What is the value of the journey?
時間なんだと思ってます。まあもちろんすごくショートな移動に。
Actually showing this journey, it's kind of something that we shared from the early stages of the editing. We wanted to share this journey with the audience. So sure, you can cut, or you can cut even shorter, but we wanted the audience to experience this journey, this traveling with the characters. And as you travel along with them, we hoped that the audience would feel some kind of an accomplishment, or they've went through this journey together with these characters. So you're gratified by going through all this is traveling with the characters. And then you have the climax in Hokkaido, and then the play ends. Everything closes. You know, your journey comes to an end. That's what we were trying to accomplish by showing you the driving. So Azusa has a question for you, if we could discuss it.
Please.
It feels like, at least in Japan, like film competitions, we don't talk a lot about editors or the importance of editing. It's not discussed openly in a sense. There's not enough discussion compared to the US or Europe. And we don't have a lot of competitions that has editorial awards, not a lot, very few. And it's my impression that people outside Japan kind of knows the importance of editing. So my question is, at least in the US, what created the position of, you know, this important position of editors? What makes people understand that editing or editors are important?
I don't know that the general public understands the importance of editors. I think that the Oscars decision to cut out the editors from the live presentation shows that. Also, I think that there are many American and European directors who value their editor and have made statements about how important the editor is. And so when a director says how important the editor is, then everybody knows it.
今回は おそらく浜口さんが結構いろんなところで編集の話どういうスタイルで編集して
るか。 It's my impression that we don't talk about editing so often, so I was kind ofYou know, it was a good surprise, but good shock, but just surprised that I was even asked to do an interview today.
I do interviews with editors. I've done them for 8 years. I've interviewed hundreds of editors, and that's all I interview is editors. So because this is a beautiful film, I wanted to interview you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you guys know that I have a book, All Interviews with Editors, that's been translated into Japanese?
I do?
持ってます。
Oh, she has a copy. Yeah, I remember when the book came out, there were a lot of editors who were excited to read your book.
Hopefully you will be in the next book.
載せられたらと思います。
Naoki, thank you so much for your translation and interpretation.
Thank you. I'm sorry I was a little rusty there.
No, but, you weren't rusty at all. You were great.
Thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you both so much for being on and... I really appreciate your great wisdom about the movie, and thank you for your interpretation of her words. どうもありがとう。That's it for Out of the Cup this week. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you'd prefer to read this interview with visual support and clips and trailers, head on over to blog.frame.io, where there's a ton of great expert content for filmmakers of all types.Also, check out my book, Art of the Cut, Conversations with Film and TV Editors, for a topic-driven, curated look at the craft of editing. Thanks to my guest, Azusa Yamazaki, and to her friend and interpreter, Naoki Tanaka. I edited today's podcast using Adobe Audition. Thanks to Frame.io for their support of Art of the Cut and its pledge to keep this content coming your way. If this is a podcast that you got something out of, follow me and feel free to reach out to me on Twitter and Instagram at Steve Hullfish. And so you don't miss out on all the great upcoming interviews on the Art of the Cut podcast, subscribe to this podcast. And keep an eye out on Frame.io's YouTube channel for upcoming video episodes of the Art of the Cut podcast. I'm Steve Hullfish. Thanks for listening.